back in public session at 12:59. We have a motion and a second on case 17-029 for ORS 673 sufficient evidence of a preliminary violation of ORS 673.170 sub 2 sub A.
So we're out of executive session, back in public session?
We are. Yeah. And is there any discussion on that matter for public session? All those in favor? Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstention? Motion fails. Any other, I'm hearing any other motions on 17-029? Hearing none, so we will move forward to 17-03. Oh, anyone wants to make a motion? Okay. Okay.
Case 17-030030, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801030010 sub 1 sub B due professional care for not complying with SARS when she prepared financial statements for the church.
Second.
Any discussion? Determined that there was employment at the church. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention?
I'll make a motion in the same case to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801030020 sub 1 professional misconduct for not providing complete information on her CPA renewal in regards to working full or part time under a different business name.
Second. Discussion.
So are we talking about the part-time employment?
The additional
respect to the
church and self-employment not disclosed on the renewal.
Okay. Which could be a DBA as a sole practitioner, I suppose. That's what we're saying. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, the level of that could discuss afterwards.
Yep. Okay. Second.
All those in favor?
Oh, you're right. Second.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Level of egregiousness?
That was addressed in the executive session.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. Okay.
Case 17-030, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801030020 sub 1 professional misconduct for not providing all sources of income on unemployment claims.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention?
Okay, case 17-030, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801030010 sub 1 sub B due professional care for not returning source documents to audit clients.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Opposed? Abstention?
I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation for use of the CPA designation without an active license when a respondent held himself out as a CPA during a time when his license was suspended, and that is under ORS 673320 sub 3.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention?
Case 17- 062, I'll make a motion to find sufficient evidence of multiple violations of OAR 801, 030, 0015, sub 1, confidential client information, and or OAR 801, 030, 0015, sub 2, sub D, custody and disposition of working papers when respondents transferred confidential client information for clients to a third party without specific written consent of the client.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Make a motion under OAR 801-030-0015, sub 2, sub B, find insufficient evidence of a violation for requested records when respondent did not furnish records to a client or former client upon request within a reasonable time after such request.
Second.
Any discussion?
I know I'm going to be in the minority here, but I don't care if they sold the clients or not. It would seem to be they still have the responsibility if they prepare the return to keep the records. And to just kind of push it off on to go call somebody else.
Okay. Other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Greg.
Any abstention?
I'll make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation for all matters presented.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
This is one where we might have discussion, so I'm going to make motions individually on this, but under the first one, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010, sub 1, sub B, due professional care when respondent failed to provide documentation and or answer questions concerning 2016 tax returns.
Second.
Any discussion?
So just from my standpoint was, I think that the questions were coming to parties. It doesn't appear he was authorized to even provide information to. So from there, I didn't think, you know, while there might be some concern, I didn't know that there was enough evidence.
So by your opinion, if the client had asked directly for it as opposed to their agent?
But to provide it to the agent, you have to have written offers.
You have to have written.
Right. That's yes. Why I guess. But
yeah.
Cause
yeah, it would be different
requested it.
If it was an attorney emailing, introducing themselves and asking for something that he's not authorized to provide.
Yeah,
not good client service to not respond and say, hey, I need written authorization or I can send this directly to my client.
Yeah. That's
and they can maybe choose to send that to you.
Yeah.
I don't believe I saw enough, but that's why I'm doing these individually because normally I would do one big motion on this.
Other discussion on this one? All those in favor? This is an insufficient... All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention?
Case 18031, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation on all other matters presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
I would say on the paid prepare one, it looked like a clerical mistake, as opposed, if it was only the goddaughter's name, I would have made a different motion on that. But since they were both listed and it appeared as more of a typo, then I don't think it's insufficient from a thought process.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention?
Right. 18-037, is that where we're at?
Yep.
I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-010-0080, sub 2, holders of certificates or license in other states, or OAR 801-030-0020, sub 1, professional misconduct for working at an Oregon public accounting firm with an out-of-state CPA license and not holding an Oregon license.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention?
Case 18-038, I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0020, sub 4, sub B, acting through others for hiring an out-of-state license. Licensee, excuse me.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? That concludes the new business.
We don't do it.
New business, appointing chairs and vice chairs for 2019. Don't we only do this in January when people aren't absent so we can nominate them?
Yeah. Maybe she just wanted you to have it on your radar? I'm not sure.
We don't have instruction.
No, I don't have instruction on this. Is this something you guys normally do?
We normally do it in January.
So maybe she just wants you thinking about it. I'm prepared next time.
Well, we can certainly as a committee decide to defer that until January.
Right, exactly.
So that,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And show up, or you'll be
so
appointed.
So be here,
and
you'll be here.
And then the in your packet is a tentative meeting schedule. Take a look at that as well. The next complaints committee meeting, it looks like, will be January 11th. Does anybody know right off the top that they are? That is a no-fly zone for them.
If you are, you will be made.
Yeah.
Vice chair.
Yeah.
There's the state tax updates in early January. I don't know what day. Yeah, there's one for the day around that.
Our Tuesday.
Okay.
So I'll take a look and let Joel know, or Kimberly, or
other than us. There's the Beagle class is a big one, and then there's a state and local update.
Okay.
So just like,
who is the state and local one? Is it like an OSCPA one?
Yeah. You can webcast it, but it's hundreds of people and gets it there. And it's super exciting.
Yeah. We have our front busy season kickoff that day.
The 11th.
Yeah.
How about the 10th? So you may not be able to attend.
I've never missed one, by the way, in 4 years.
So we'll make sure you get
so
it.
So
I could probably skip our tax kickoff. It wouldn't be the end of the world for me.
You might enjoy that.
Sorry, everyone.
If there are a lot of people that are concerned about the 11th, let us know. And
we have a big enough, at this point, we're good with the number of people that it becomes less critical when people are absent, need to be absent. This stuff does come up, and there are conflicts. There was a point in time when it was sort of like, okay, well, everyone kind of has to be here. So take a look at that calendar, and if you are going to have major conflicts with anything, let Kimberly and or Joel know. Okay. Heading into old business, the report from the October and September board meetings.
Well, the October board meeting and the September board meeting.
Yes.
I'll be reporting on the October board meeting. So at the October 26th board meeting, the board took on the cases that were reviewed as part of the September 28th OAC meeting. And first and foremost, as always is the case, speaking for myself and I think for everybody else on the board, we very much appreciate the effort that this committee does. It's impressive to sit here and see the level of discussion and depth that people take the analysis of what's going on. It's obviously very, very professionally done, and people are putting the time and effort into it as they need to. So thank you very much. Let me state that again for myself and I think for the entire board and citizens of the state of Oregon. I can take it that far. As far as the cases that you looked at on September 28th, pretty much across the board, whatever your findings were the findings that the board itself found in October 26th. The one exception, there was an individual that was in the Medford area. There were four different allegations for which you found sufficient evidence. The board actually only voted on two and found both of those to be sufficient, and there were two charges or allegations that the board did not consider at that point, but certainly the board found, well, let me take that back. There was one that the board found with you, the other one the motion failed. So there was still one finding for dishonesty, fraud, and misrepresentation, which is probably the biggest charge that was out there. So that was looked at, but everything else fell in line with what the committee's recommendations were. And again, thank you very much for your service.
And I don't know what the BOAC report would be. Any thoughts? So we will move on to that. In your packet, and then Joel, send it out. But then those are wrong.
You don't have page two.
You don't have page two, so if you would like page two, take one and pass it around. So this, I don't know if you guys forget what they, it was the bylaw. So for years, there was this Oregon Board of Accountancy bylaws, and it was approved, it was issued in 2010, and there was all sorts of talk about how it was somehow repealed, and I couldn't find any evidence of that. But regardless, we had decided a long time ago that we didn't, you know, that it was no good idea to have it from the bylaws, because we shouldn't have bylaws as a state agency. So we should have, like, committee procedures. I know it's like a distinction probably about a difference, but regardless, it's just better form. So, and then Kim and I went through and kind of like tried to sort of like make it a little bit more streamlined, took it to the board, and the board reviewed it. The only change that they wanted was to ensure that if you're on a committee for 6 years and you would like to do it again, you would be able to, so that was fixed. I believe that was the only change that was requested. Basically, this sort of goes through it. Sort of the biggest change for you guys is that one thing that we'll be doing every year, and this will be Kim in conjunction with the chair, prior to the December board meeting, we'll look at the attendance history and recusal rates of members. And if you are tending to miss a lot or recuse yourself often, you will not be invited to come back. That's not a problem, but just so we had a mechanism to do it and not have to, like, you know, keep coming. Because, like, and back to the point made earlier, we didn't have a time period where it didn't matter. Because we had such few numbers. And so if we have somebody that's recusing all the time, it makes it really difficult for us to do our job when we have a quorum. Yeah.
So what's the process to get an excused absence?
So, yeah, so just tell him. So, you know, it's funny. There's actually what it used to say was that you needed to email the board chair, which is actually a violation of the public duties law, so we shouldn't do that. So,
oops.
Nobody ever did it, though, so it was fine. Like, no, did you ever get an email saying I'm not coming?
No.
Right. So, because I don't think anybody knew really about this. So nobody was following the procedures that were in it. So, yeah, so it actually said that. And it's based off of the idea behind that, which there's a statutory requirement for board members that's even, like, I think you have to, like, it technically says you need to let the governor's office know, which, of course, if every board person did that and across the state, like, that would be insane, right? So it's not, like, really what they really expect. But if you just, like, let him know that you aren't coming, that's what we're looking for.
It's more if you can't come at all during the year.
Right, yeah. You don't come back.
We should probably find somebody else that can fill that seat. Or if every meeting you have to recuse yourself from half of the cases because of the line of work you're in or whatever, where you touch a lot of different people, or then it maybe is better served by someone else.
And then if you're just interested, for those that are... those of you that are new, it talks about all the different committees, so if you're looking forward in 6 years and you'd like to try for a different committee, they're all listed here for you. And the other sort of major change to this was that just defining what the Laws and Rules Committee does, because before it really said that each committee was supposed to sort of deal with the laws and rules, which wasn't super effective because there was no, like, funnel way to do it. So, anyhow, so this is sort of like saying, like, we should say, like, when we have concerns and questions about something that we think is, like, a pattern of conduct, we said we wanted to go to the Laws and Rules Committee, and we can have Scott or Kim or somebody mention it at the board meeting that you guys have concerns and think maybe the board should consider looking into this rule, and they can, you know, say that they agree and want the Laws and Rules Committee to look into that. And so, basically, that's the gist of it. So this, the effective date of this was in October, in the last board meeting. And with the binders, which you don't know about, but many of you do, put together this handy-dandy reference binder. And so I'm going to add that to it. Right, that's showing me. So it has a lot of information in there that's, I think, helpful to new people and just in general to have. And we had some, the flash drive is basically, I figured out that we can email it.
Oh, good.
It's small enough to email it. So once we add this, and I believe there was, like, one other change I wanted to make to it just in flow of it, and then we will email it out to you so that you can save it up to your desktop or whatever you would like to do to have it portable and not have a binder. Some people like binders, though, so if you want a binder, you can have a binder. We have extra. Right back there.
So. Great. That's good. All right. That concludes today's meeting. We are adjourned.
Nice work.
Wow.